This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
I'm going to talk about a subject that, interestingly, has become de jure in many African agendas: philanthropy. And what do we mean by philanthropy? Well, loosely put, it's not a dictionary definition. It's when families that are very, very wealthy then deploy some of their personal wealth towards social causes. And it's not necessarily charity in that sense. It could be a cause like supporting, you know, a young incubator hub of techies, right? Not for profit, but because you want to see those young scientific minds do well and prototype something amazing. Philanthropy. Or it could go as far as saying there is a shortage of school meals, and we as Family X for the next year will make sure that there is a school meal every single day of the semester or term. So it's a range of interventions that are done by families purely out of wealth. And in a country like Nigeria, where today the president is being inaugurated, the new president, Bola Tinubu, is being inaugurated, philanthropy has really grown in leaps and bounds. And I think it has something to do with the fact that there is a large concentration of wealth, dollar millionaires from the petroleum sector and new industries like telecommunications. And there's a lot of need on the ground. There's a lot of poverty. There's huge inequalities there. And so you're seeing a foundation that's been set up by Tony Elumelu, the Bua Group, started by Samad Rabiu. They have a foundation. Aliko Dangote, the Dangote Group, has a foundation. In the United States, you see a lot of philanthropy. In fact, many universities, including Harvard University, was built on the endowments of private families. That's why they become private universities, and they continue to survive on the endowments of private families. Art collections are built through the sponsorship of private families, and many scholarship funds are launched in the name of private families. And so there is a lot of good that wealthy people do. I'm not sanitizing their image. I'm not even discussing how people have made their monies and what was legal, illegal patronage or not. I'm saying there's a lot of wealth that can be deployed for constructive social projects. And how can we see more of that in a country like South Africa? Please note that in America, when you see a lot of philanthropy, there is a huge tax incentive as well, because donations are actually subject to tax deductions and rebates as well. And that is a huge incentive for people to get around and do good. And so you see it from Warren Buffett to Michael Bloomberg to Bill Gates with the Gavi Alliance and many others. A lot of work that's being done because of philanthropy. And a lot of things go wrong also because of philanthropy. There's a huge court case in America right now involving a pharmaceutical company started by a private family as part of their endowments that has gone totally, completely awry. But when we talk philanthropy and African solutions, where can we see the wealthy really putting money where their mouths are? We're speaking to Dr. Keratilwe Mohotsi, who's the program director of the Africa Philanthropy Executive Education Program at the University of Witwatersrand's Africa Center for Philanthropy and Social Investment. It's quite a mouthful. Dr. Keratilwe, good morning.
Good morning, Lerato. I was enjoying listening to you, actually. I felt we should confer you with your degree in philanthropy.
Thank you. I've been looking for, you know, for a degree that I don't actually have to study for a change. Thank you. Okay, so let's talk about philanthropy and what it is, technically.
Okay, well, thanks for having me, Lerato. There are various definitions, as you correctly stated, and conceptions of philanthropy. A lot of people interchange the words with charity and terms that pertain to the love of mankind. So I'm very happy to simply state the definition of philanthropy. It's really about voluntary action in the form of time, talent, resources for the public good. So I'd like to break this down for everyone and highlight the word voluntary and also highlight public good. Mm. Voluntary giving of your time, your talent, your resources for the public good qualifies as philanthropic acts.
Okay.
If you look within our context here in South Africa and Africa in general, that definition qualifies so many practices that are fundamentally our way of being and our way of life. How many people do you know that give of their time, their talent, and resources for the public good?
Mm.
The list of gogos and aunties, bomalume, is endless. We start to see that the face of philanthropy is not the typical Bill Gates that you are describing now, or Patrice Motsepe, or any high net worth individuals that we imagine philanthropy to be. Philanthropy orbits around giving, the spirit of Ubuntu, Harambe, as they call it in East Africa. It's not only about giving money as commonly understood, but it's also about giving of your time, your energy, and your resources for the public good.
Okay, on that one, I just want to push back a little bit, but I push back not knowing, right? Is that when people are community organizers, the church, the gogo, it's seen as Ubuntu, it's seen as communal, it's seen as charitable. But there is this one issue of resources. The fact that people give of their time but don't quite have the money to really effect social impact is the limitation. And that's the differential with philanthropy, is that people can sign big checks that change people's lives in an extraordinary way.
So the conception, the misconception rather, is that philanthropy is all about giving the money. But resources do qualify. I also mentioned talent. If you are good at cooking or baking and you're not charging a fee for it, you're doing it for the public good. The big thing to highlight today is for the public good.
Yeah.
We always have these debates because you're wondering, if I'm cooking for my family, is that philanthropy? No, that's not. That's you looking after your family. But if you're doing it for a community and trying to help out at a time of need for other people other than yourself and your immediate family or people around you, it's for the public good, then it does qualify as a philanthropic act. And that's where that's why we exist, actually, as the Center for African Philanthropy, because we realize that the home of philanthropy would really be in Africa if you were to ever try to find the origins of it. But it became famous because big nonprofit organizations, big high net worth individuals established these foundations where they were giving of money, and you now believe that philanthropy means I've given so many billions and millions of dollars to that cause.
Okay.
And we neglect our African philanthropy.
Okay, so we need to have a broader definition, and we have to have a definition in Africa that is not rooted in monetary value, but social impact value.
Absolutely.
Emotional community currency.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, fair play.
And we need to tell those stories. I mean, lots of people, as we speak right now, probably thinking, oh my gosh, so that gogo that helped me, who's not even related to you, could be put in this category as well.
Philanthropic.
Because yes, they would if they did it for the public good.
Okay, fantastic. So let's talk about the difference between a non-profit organization, not-for-profit, versus a foundation.
So there are different institutionalizations of philanthropy. And here in South Africa, we actually see all forms of them. So the one that you described now is non-profit organization. Some of them call them NGOs, international NGOs. All of those are institutionalized forms of philanthropy. So they are formal institutions that are registered. In South Africa, it's under the Department of Social Investment. So they have an NPO status. Some of them have a PPO status. Examples I can give you, like Gift of the Givers, You Save the Children, ActionAid, and the like, right? Then we have informal forms. So these won't have a registration number. and we sometimes call it vertical giving. And that is the big group of givers here in South Africa, which we love to term under African philanthropy.
Okay.
That's the community of sisters who contribute to a stock well to give out groceries and support to a society in time of need. That's your uncles who give of their time to participate and contribute to issues in a khotla. We have our khotlas. Many people don't get paid for participating there, but they're discussing things that are affecting communities. That's your working class, young people who combine resources to help out with community issues. And I can go on and on. This is what South Africa is made of, people who fathom the concept of you are your brother's keeper and you do need to be affected by what's happening in your community. Then we have, you know, something that's sort of in between. These are community foundations.
Yeah.
They are also institutionalized, but then they also get involved in the informal vertical type of processes that I just described.
Yeah.
So your foundation, your NPO, would fall under the institutionalized forms of giving. Community foundations fall under the community type of giving. And then all the vertical examples fall under informal categories of giving.
Okay. So now what we're seeing, it's an interesting phenomenon for me, and I'm not in any way castigating or ridiculing, but there are a lot of celebrities, which I put in inverted commas, but the South African version of the celebrity, who seem, there's a trend for people to be setting up foundations. And then they go on social media and say, I have a foundation and today we were giving away 10 pairs of shoes or 50 bags of Mealy Meal, which we are not in any way denigrating. But you ask yourself the question, 50 bags of Mealy Meal? What impact is that going to have? And yet they've registered these foundations and I don't know whether they're getting tax rebates, but these kind of minimal, bare minimal actions has led skeptics to say, in South Africa, a foundation is now becoming a vehicle for money laundering.
And it's getting fashionable as well to be saying, oh, I have a foundation and I have.
So I'm being very careful as I'm saying this. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying you see bare minimum action, but it's registered as a foundation. You can't follow through on the programs that they have, but you get a sense that it is now becoming a way through which people are diverting cash. And I don't know if that's a valid concern or if that's just a skeptical view.
It is a valid concern, and it also contributes to the misconceptions and understanding of philanthropy. In fact, what you're describing now sounded very much like charity work. And the terms are used interchangeably, but there is a difference between philanthropy and charity.
Okay.
If you think of them as concepts, we just described now, philanthropy is voluntary giving of time, talent, resources for the public good. So philanthropy is any action that is done with your private resources for the public good. Charity, on the other hand, means providing for those in need. So that's generosity, giving away shoes or whatever to the unfortunate in a form of relief or rescue, whereas philanthropy is more strategic and tries to address the root cause of the problem. So there's that saying that don't give a man fish, rather teach him how to fish so that you don't have to feed him again tomorrow. Philanthropy tries to initiate programs and actions that can try and address the root cause of poverty, for example, the root causes of inequality, for example. So giving away shoes will not address poverty. Yes, it will give the people shoes to wear this year or next year. I don't know how long shoes last, especially with kids. They grow out of them so quickly. Whereas philanthropy would try to say, okay, why don't those kids don't have shoes? They don't have shoes because there's an affordability issue or an employment issue with their parents. So what can we do to try and address that so that they can get shoes and shirts and food, whatever else they need to be able to go to school?
So another question. Yes, yeah. Ma'am. You can land. You can give us the last bit.
No, I was just saying, so it's all because of the misconception of it. And then it's, yeah. We do have a very big nonprofit sector in South Africa, over 20,000 that are registered. So people just go in there, register without fully understanding these categories that I've explained and differentiating between charity and philanthropy.
Okay, so on that note, how do we vet a charitable organization? Many people want to set up an NPO for the right reasons. Their heart is in the right place, but it goes really pear-shaped when, for instance, Ugogo creates a makeshift creche, nursery school in her backyard. She doesn't have early development training, education training. She doesn't have nutritional training. She's feeding kids kind of porridge and peanut butter bread, which is all good and well, but it doesn't really meet the required nutritional standards for growing children or the necessary educational inputs for children at this stage of development. But here it is, this organization that's running.
I think we're very fortunate here in South Africa is that there's a lot of support for the institutional forms of philanthropy. So if Ugogo just wants to continue with this charitable act, you can actually register a charity. You can actually register a trust. If you're not running programs, because philanthropic organizations and foundations, you'll see that they're addressing something. Most of them are driven by the founder's vision, you know, like Bill Gates is passionate about health issues. Mm. So he's running programs to alleviate malaria and COVID and all of that. But they stand for something. There's something that they're tackling long term. So we do have support in this country where you can register your organization appropriately. There's even organizations that just focus on helping people with the registration acts. And there's a step forward with SARS and all to get your PBO status. Mm. So it only takes reaching out. It's done by Department of Social Development to do the paperwork. Okay. It's much easier now than it used to be. Right. And like I said, there are middlemen organizations that exist purely to help the nonprofit sector to legitimize themselves.
Okay. So again, you know, we need to draw the sort of the distinction between the Charitable Act, NPO versus the foundation with its long-term, very focused intervention around a social problem. So somebody then sets up a foundation and then starts asking for donations. And it's raised eyebrows. It's made people uncomfortable because if you've set up a foundation, the impression you've created is you've actually got the resources to follow through on your projects, whether you're building houses, supporting an education program, a bursary scheme, then why do you need financial support? And as I say this, I'm also remembering that Gift of the Givers rely heavily on corporate and private donations, but they don't consider themselves a foundation or a philanthropic organization. They consider themselves an NPO.
So there's actually nothing wrong with setting up a foundation and then fundraising for a cause.
Okay.
So a foundation is what we call a grant maker in most instances, where they give out grants and resources to be able to support their programs, right? Mm. But in some instances, especially if, you know, like when we had COVID or there's like a massive flooding event in KZN and all of that, and then it's not part of their initial plan when they started, there's nothing wrong with you doing a crowdfunding initiative in order to raise funds for that particular cause. However, the foundation shouldn't be built on the notion that they're going to fundraise for everything. Because if you're going to fundraise for everything, there's something else that you register for. Mm. Or maybe just focus on fundraising and resource mobilization, because that in itself is a discipline. So we should never confuse the status of a foundation and acts that they are doing to try and fundraise for a cause. Mm. It becomes a problem if you are fundraising for everything that the foundation stands for.
And it's no longer technically, I know you prefer the African definition of philanthropy, but technically if you start fundraising, you're not quite a philanthropist.
If you are fundraising for your existence, yes, but if there's a cause. So like a random event, like COVID, for example, that suddenly garners much attention, which was not traditionally maybe part of your organization's focus, your foundation's focus, and then you want to do a crowdfunding initiative to raise resources for that. That's not an issue. It's an innovation mobilizing resources.
Okay. In the United States, donations receive very favorable tax breaks, and that's why many rich people make huge donations and endowments, because there's an incentive. In South Africa, is there a similar regime?
Yes, there is. So in the US and the Western societies, they get like substantial tax breaks for that. And then when you make it in life, whether you're a big business person like Bill Gates or an industrialist like Carnegie, whose riches still prevail today, they get tremendous benefit in tax cuts. Here in South Africa, you need to have a PPO status so that you are able to issue out a certificate to organizations that give to you. So you find that a lot of corporates especially would then get involved with the nonprofit sector and foundations. And the ones that are attractive are the ones with the PPO status so that they can be issued with that certificate. Mm. However, so that's a fact. That's what we do. You do get that tax break through the PPO status. However, you also need to look at the motives for giving. So why was that corporate or that individual giving to that cause? What were the reasons for that? Yeah. Is it only to get the PPO status? Or is there a fundamental social issue that they are driving? So a lot of attention now in philanthropy is focusing on the impact, not just giving a PPO status, but how have you changed people's lives? How have you reduced poverty? How have you reduced inequality? And that's what we need to communicate in our story.
Very briefly, as we start to wind down the conversation, the church, by its very nature, it's supposed to be gathering the flock of the Lord. Can churches be considered philanthropic organizations or NGOs?
So the religious sector is a very big component of philanthropy, because you must remember that they have been there throughout. So pre-colonial times, during the colonial times to this date, and it has a heavy influence on the type of giving that we have, especially on this continent. There are many religions, but mainly Christian and Muslim have also found institutions in various African countries where they are giving, and they're also establishing their own charities through the religion. So we have a whole field. We actually offer a course on the impact of religion and giving, because we're cognizant of the influence that it has. However, they are not often registered as an NGO because they're, you know, there's a religious institution, so they don't automatically qualify to go onto the NGO status. However, they have a lot of influence. They have a lot of access to communities that need to be sought. So they're a very prevailing player within the philanthropic space. And they also crowdsource. You find people tithing and giving to their religious institutions, and that money can be rechanneled to help children or to help the community in some manner. So they are a potential more than anything.
All right. And then as we close the conversation, can you tell us, can you paint for us the landscape of philanthropy in South Africa, just generally, and where we see impact and what constitutes impact today?
South Africa has seen some changing faces. It's 29 years now since 1994. And you'll find that in these 29 years, there's been a change of focus of philanthropy, where before apartheid, or during apartheid rather, we're focusing on, you know, the injustices, trying to get the equality. And then now it's more about access, making sure that people have access to things, making sure that women get promoted, making sure that we attend to sustainable issues, especially now that the energy situation is biting us visibly. So philanthropy is now a key player in us meeting our development goals as a country. South Africa has what they call the National Development Plan, which is very much influenced by the Sustainable Development, the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. And philanthropy is right there in the middle because you have access to that, the private resources. So philanthropic organizations don't worry about voters, right? They don't worry about shares the way that corporates do. They don't have shareholders and stuff like that. They don't have people that are voting them into power. So that flexibility and that prevalence within communities makes them a very key strategic player for the development of this country.
We hope we can have this conversation again with you, because you'll see now that you're going off air, there's quite a little conversation that's emerging online over this conversation that you and I are having. And I get a sense that many people are very interested and curious to find out more. And I hope we can tease out more of the issues around philanthropy and do a comparative analysis across Africa and really measure social impact. But I thank you for this introduction to philanthropy today, Dr. Keratilwe Mokgotsi, the Program Director of the Africa Philanthropy Executive Education Program. She is located at the WITS Center on African Philanthropy and Social Investments. The WITS Center on African Philanthropy and Social Investments. And that's where you can find her. So I'm not going to ask her for her email address and phone number over the air, as is being requested. Simply go onto the website for WITS and the WITS Center of African Philanthropy and Social Investment. Let's do good.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.